Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of... This is an encore presentation of Middays with Susie Larson. I love that song. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So glad to have you listening today. In fact, we join you every single day, hopefully, to bring you conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, deepen your understanding of God's word, and heighten your awareness of his very real presence in your life. Well, in the Bible, Jesus talks about the wheat and the tares, about those who follow Christ and those who pretend to follow Christ. And scripture does say that many will actually, quote unquote, do ministry in Jesus' name. But there'll come a day when Jesus says, I never knew you. We did not have a relationship. Well, you know, there are true followers of Christ and those who pretend to follow him. But there also, there's another camp of those who had a sincere transaction. They trusted Christ. They are Christ followers, but they sort of disengage their heart. And you know, when you go through the motions and you disengage your heart, guess what happens? You disengage your faith. And then nothing happens in the spiritual atmosphere. You go through the motions, you sing the songs, but your heart's not engaged. Nothing's changing in the atmosphere. So guess what? It matters not only that we're all in, but that we're fully engaged. Well, I'm so excited to welcome to the show Andy Andrew. Title of her book is Fake or Follower, Refusing to Settle for a Shallow Faith. And thanks to her very generous publisher, we've got 6 copies to give away today. And once you hear this girl, you're going to want a copy. I wish we had 100 copies to give away. You can get in the drawing even starting now by emailing middays@myfaithradio.com, middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll be taking texts if you want a question or comment in just a moment here. But first, a quick announcement. Not sure if you knew this, but we are a listener-supported ministry. And if you've never supported Faith Radio, but you feel like you benefit from the ministry, would you consider being part of the giving family? You can give safely and securely online at myfaithradio.com. And if you're already giving, I just want to say a special thank you, because we absolutely couldn't do this without you, and we wouldn't want to. I want every one of you, though, be a radio missionary. If you're ministered to by the content that you hear day in and day out on Faith Radio, tell your friends about us and share us with a friend. Easy for them to download the Faith Radio app if they're outside our network. Either way, let's spread the good news together. Thanks so much for being part of our Faith Radio family. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Andy Andrews, co-founder and co-pastor with her husband, Paul, of Liberty Church in New York City. She's an author, speaker. I said there's a lot of fire in this studio because she's here along with our good friend, Carolyn Haas, who you've heard her on the show plenty of times. She's determined not to be on the show today, but Andy and I are going to kind of override, I think. So I just told these girls, there's a whole lot of fire in this studio right now. Andy, I love you. Welcome to the show.
I love you, too. I'm so glad that we got to hug each other and meet in person.
Yes.
We've talked before, but this is so wonderful to be with you and have Carolyn with us, of course.
Indeed. You know, it's one thing to connect. And I knew as soon as the first time I ever interviewed you, this is a soul sister. But
yeah.
You're right. There's so much more energy when we get to be in studio
yeah.
together. Well, you know the drill. I've interviewed you plenty of times. And I love to start every conversation talking scripture.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been hanging around these days you can share with us.
Yeah, I've been in the middle of reading Philippians. And I think Philippians 2 has been really speaking to me. God spoke to me at the beginning of the year about living this life of humility and hunger and what that looks like, and walking through Philippians and how he talks about our humility in Christ, like following Christ and his humility. But there is one thing that stood out to me, and this is actually in Philippians 1:27, and it's in the Passion Translation. And it says this: whatever happens, keep living your lives based on the reality of the gospel of Christ, which reveals him to others. And you know when you get stuck on a verse and you can't get off of it, and you keep looking at it and looking at it and looking at it. And for me, I keep going, okay, whatever happens, whatever season I'm in, whether that's high or low, walking through transition or pain, whether it's good, keep living your lives based on the reality of the gospel of Christ, and realizing that when I live based on that reality and not the reality of maybe even what I see or what I'm walking through, my life will continually be emitting and letting go of the kingdom of heaven, and people will be seeing the goodness of God in that. And so that's just kind of what I've been going, what does this look like? How do I actually do this and continually reveal who he is to others as I use that as my foundation?
Wow, that's, so powerful. And I sound like a broken record, because where I keep hanging around, I just can't get over it. I think I feel the urgency of the time so much. But the idea that scripture is very clear that there'll be some Christians who are ashamed at his coming.
Yeah.
There'll be that briefest moment where they realized, I trusted Christ for my eternity, but I lived like a practical atheist.
Yes.
And there's going to be this jarring moment going,
yep.
And there's no more chance to live by faith.
Yep.
And what you're saying is engaging my faith with eternity in mind, making mm-hmm. it count in this life
yes.
and the life to come. And I think we share that passion.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, Lord, wake up the church, you know?
Yeah.
And this book, Faker Follower, Refusing to Settle for a Shallow Faith, told you before the show, you know, I'm sort of a no-fluff zone. And this book has such depth. I'd love you to talk about the inspiration behind it.
Yeah.
And first of all, tell the story about when someone, I know this one, after you spoke, a woman said, that was, you're so cute. And that was entertaining. And
yeah.
that would be like nails on a chalkboard to me as well.
Yeah,
talk
it was.
About
well, that.
That
story was interesting because it was one of those nights where, I mean, the reality of the gospel was coming alive in people's lives. There were people getting healed. There were people repenting and giving their lives to Jesus. Like there was the reality of the presence of God and encounter with him and people really meeting him. And when I got done, I was about to walk out and a woman just came up to me and she goes, well, aren't you just so cute and entertaining? Sorry, it was a southern accent. You're getting one. So I kind of gave that away. But for me, it took everything in me to not react. And maybe I should have said something. But for me, what hit me was in our Western Christianity, how we have settled for entertainment culture. When I went, how have you missed the mark of what God is doing in this room? And he can do this outside of this room as well. But if you can't get that when he is manifesting his presence right here, right now, how will you understand how to live your lives based on the gospel outside of here?
Amen.
So that was kind of that was one of the inspiration points. And that night, I went home, and often God speaks to me in dreams. Sometimes it's absolutely too much pizza. But sometimes he'll really speak to me in the night hour. And I think we need to realize that our spirit is never sleeping. And so therefore we need to pray over ourselves before we go to bed at night. And also he can speak to you while you sleep. And I had a dream, and it's a long dream, but I'll give you part of it because it was another part of the inspiration for the book. After this woman called me that, I was so angry. And when I finally fell asleep, God gave me a very prophetic dream. And in this dream, I was walking in downtown Brooklyn with my two youngest children, holding their hands, and to my right shoulder was actually my angel was standing there walking with me. And there was just death and destruction everywhere. A raid had happened the night before. There were dead bodies piled up by the subway and people taking selfies with the dead bodies. Hmm. And the police were trying to push them away, going, stop it. This is inappropriate. But people weren't listening. They were taking selfies with the dead bodies. And I turned around the corner in front of Borough Hall and there were severed heads and charred bodies everywhere. I know this is intense, but there's a reason for it. And my angel looked at me and there was like landmines everywhere. I was holding my kids' hands. They looked totally unafraid. The angel looked at me, nodded, and told me to walk in to where the landmines and the dead bodies were. I grabbed my children's hands and walked into the middle of death and destruction. And look, the dream went on, but when I woke up, I was like, God, do I need to pray for my city right now? Is something about to happen that I need to pray won't happen? And he said, no, this is the state of the church today. There Whoa. Is death and destruction. There are dead bodies, the living dead everywhere. And instead, we're taking selfies with them instead of sharing the gospel and the good
Whoa.
News. When meanwhile, we're meant to grab the next generation by the hands and walk into landmines and death and the darkest of places and bring our children unafraid. I mean, I'm raising my kids in New York City, and I keep getting surprised. I was telling Carolyn last night that my kids are flourishing in a liberal city where we get to experience the goodness of the gospel and live differently in a city where it's, you know, no one really cares about the church or Jesus, but you've got, so that was really the inspiration for it, as well as my mother-in-law being diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor, being faced with the reality of our eternity. Like, we don't know how long we have. Like, every breath is borrowed breath. And the Spirit of God said to me, hey, Andy, as I was kind of beginning to write and put this together, he said, what letter would you write to your children if you knew you had a year left? What letter would you write to the church? And really, that's what this book is. It's
wow.
a letter to the church.
So great. Fake or Follower is the title, Refusing to Settle for a Shallow Faith. We've got 6 copies. Email if you want in the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com. I'm thinking, you know, you're at this event and all these other people are being changed, and yet this gal goes, aren't you the cutest little thing? You know, I had a similar situation where I spoke and it felt like, you know, God moved and people were in line sharing that. And one woman waited a long time in line to tell me, your pants are too big. Wow. I couldn't hear what you're saying because those were just, they're just too big for you. And, you know, and I'm thinking this has got to say something about soil when you're talking about, you know, I want to make the distinction between those who profess Christ who never, ever really are following him and those who truly are saved, which, you know, the Lord discerns that, but aren't following him really. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, I'm concerned about the soil, you know, and that's the condition of the church as well, because you are delivering a message that's God-given and it's falling on some good soil and you see the production of fruit, so to speak. But it is amazing when you can give a heartfelt message to someone and they pick out one icky thing and miss the heart and the love around all
pants.
Of it. Or your pants, you know, and I wish I could tell you fully what she said, but it's not appropriate for radio about what my pants are doing. But anyway, But yeah, what can we as leaders do? And Carolyn, I'd actually like for you to speak to this after the break, because we have to take a break here in a moment. But what can we do about the soil? Because the soil is in the heart of the person. Yeah. So they're determines how receptive they are.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my question.
No, I actually understand what you're saying. It's actually what I talked about last night at Substance with these guys was matters of the heart. And it was Psalm 19:14. It said, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And I think we can do a soil test all the time. As we're paying attention to what we're meditating on, what conversations are you repeating in your head? What offense are you repeating in your head and your heart? What things are you mulling over as you lay your head on your pillow at night? Because those are the things that are either tilling the soil of your heart, negative or positive. And so, and then we've got to pay attention to the words of our mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if you're constantly creating a negative environment or offended environment or unforgiving or whatever that is, you can pay attention really quickly to how your heart is actually doing. Like, even, are you critical? Are you looking at people's pants? Are you paying attention? Like, whatever that is. And then you've got to go, what's pleasing in the sight of the Lord? Like, obviously the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, we've got to see if those are pleasing to him, but also faith and trust in him, whatever season you find yourselves in. And so I think that's how our hearts direct the course of our lives, and we're not paying attention to that. And that is literally the soil where seeds go in or they do not go in.
You know, that's amazing. When you think about when you choose offense, choose usurping authority, choose grudges, all that, you are limiting yourself from the blessing of God's word bearing fruit in your life, because you're creating hard soil so it lands and it doesn't bear fruit. I mean, you're doing yourself and the church a disservice.
And then we're angry.
And then we're angry
about it. Oh, you know, someone fixed this. It's like, well, actually, you're responsible for your heart. And at the end of your life, you're going to answer for that.
Amen. You're responsible for your heart. And at the end of your life, you're going to answer for that. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the soil. I want you to text and chime into the conversation. How do you cultivate a deeper life? How do you keep the soil pure? What have you learned? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. You should just put that in your speed dial so you can text us right away. More with Andy Andrew and Pastor Carolyn Haas. Actually, Pastor Andy Andrew and Pastor Carolyn Haas in just a moment. We're listening to an encore presentation of Middays with Susie Larson. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Got my friend, pastor, author, speaker, Andy Andrew, author of the book Fake or Follower, Refusing to Settle for a Shallow Faith. We've got 6 copies. This is a fantastic book. I literally wish I had 100 to give away. 6 is a good number, though, so you can email if you want in on the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com. Also in studio, Pastor Carolyn Haas, whom you know. We've had her and her dear husband, Peter, on the show plenty of times. And actually, Carolyn is taking Andy to the airport because Andy just ministered at Substance Church. So honored to have these two dear sisters in studio. We were talking about the soil of our hearts, and you said we really do need to do a soil test, because you're saying how you can have the most amazing message preached. I've sent messages to people that were just heartfelt, and amazing how if their hearts are hard, they pick out one little thing, a comma, a missing comma, and miss the heart of what I'm saying. But I want you both to speak even a bit more to tending to the soil of our hearts. Carolyn, why don't you speak to that? I mean, as a leader, you see this a lot, and you have to, I'm sure, as a leader, deal with your own heart.
Well, I love that Jesus actually addressed this in Matthew 13. And so he actually, it's no surprise when it's the story of the parable of the sower and the seed, and how of the 4 different soils that there were, God's word, the seed, went forth to all of them. So there was nothing wrong with the seed. It was God's word. Wow. It was amazing. Amen. It was powerful, but only one bore fruit. And yeah. those statistics are really bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. If there's four of us in the room right now, only one of us walking away with the promise of God, taking deep root and then bearing fruit.
30, 60, 100 times.
Correct.
Which is amazing.
And that was those who understood and listened and then applied it. Mm. And then, so I think it's really important to understand what robs God's word, the promise from bearing fruit in our lives. And so, I mean, Jesus gives many things. It was the enemy. So the devil accuses us. He lies to us. That steals the seed, the promise of God, before it can bear fruit. So that's a whole separate sermon. But then it's also realizing persecution, hardship, trial. And you talked about that last night in your message of just hardship. Most people fall away from God when hardship, when trial. It's their response to trial and hardship and pain. And that's where their faith is being tested. You know, so I love that you talked about, Andy, about every day, the words, the thoughts of your heart and emotion. And I think it's my daily prayer is creating me a clean heart, oh God.
Yes.
It's God, give me a, you know, because any day I can walk away from God, I can respond wrong. You know, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God.
Indeed.
And
yeah.
so it does take a posture of humility versus arrogance. And so I think if we think we're all good and we've got it, we're gonna fall.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think too, I was talking about this yesterday as well, as Psalm 139. I think I remember when I first got saved how I was taught by these pastors. It was so cool. I was doing an internship. We had an hour together where we would read the 1 year Bible and then go off on the campus of the church and pray. And I remember when I first got saved, Psalm 139 was illuminated to me. So isn't that cool? In my formative years of following Jesus, someone taught me read the word of God and pray for an hour. I was like, thank you. And so I remember I would go find this room, sit there with the lights off right by the window and read Psalm 139 and weep. And I kind of went, why do we lose like how deeply God knows us? When I was hiding from him, he saw me. When I was in my greatest states, he was there with me. He formed me in my mother's womb. But the very end of Psalm 139 is my favorite because it says, search my heart, O God, test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any way offensive in me. And then lead me in the way of everlasting. There was something about the end of Psalm 139 that became a prayer, like a sit up in the morning and pray that prayer. Because if you can sit up in the morning and pray that prayer and actually let God search your heart and find any offense or way that you're walking on a path of pain, he will show you.
That's right.
And so he will also lead you and show you how to be healed and how to forgive and how to walk that out. And it'll keep your heart soft.
So good. Many, many years ago, I haven't seen anything new from him lately. I think he's in the retirement grandpa years. But Francis Frangipane wrote a lot on Christlikeness. Years ago, he wrote about the unoffendable heart and that we must pursue an unoffendable heart. And he said, often in the church, you find these two camps. The one camp is constantly nitpicking, constantly offended, and they're draining the strength of church leaders because they're so offendable and high maintenance. But then there's the other side, so committed to a pure heart that they're absorbing so much, constantly trying to field the offense. And he said, it's, you know, the people that are fielding the offense, there is a reward for them in heaven, and God is using it to transform their character, but it is wasted strength because these people won't deal with their hearts.
Yeah.
And it was an old saint, Bob Mumford, said, God will either bless you or afflict you with people according to your need.
That's
good to know.
Yes. Okay, so Andy said something last night that I was so fresh and so insightful. We've always heard the scripture, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But I've never heard you say, before Jesus, we have our way,
yes,
our truth,
wow,
and our life.
I talk about that in Figure Follower,
and
too.
We hold on to that. And that was so like, thank you for saying that, because then it's when we submit our lives to Jesus Christ, we're giving up our way, our truth, and our life.
Because he is all of them.
So
he
good.
Is all of them. Yeah.
You know, when I used to host Live the Promise, there was, I don't know if I should talk about this, but there was somebody who just had it out for me. I would constantly send me emails and nitpick me apart and accuse me of things.
I'm going to start sending you nice emails.
You should.
And tell
I'll
you
give
you
my cell number.
Are.
Yes.
Pants are looking so cute
Your
today.
Pants are awesome.
But it was just, and it was when my dad was dying, and she was merciless, you know, and it was just like this thing. And she'd sent letters in the mail that were just so mean. And it was years later, she sent me a note and said, I shouldn't have done that. I just love the power that I had. And I thought, wow. And you,
that's honest.
Yeah. And I just thought, sad too, you know.
Yeah.
And you referenced Colossians 3:25, but in the Passion Translation, it made me look at it with fresh eyes. A disciple will be repaid for what he has learned or followed. For God pays no attention to titles, prestige, or the prestige of men. We need to be sober, though, really, that if you have power and you're making somebody, you know, kind of squirm, that's not without consequence.
Exactly.
I mean, we seriously need to walk in a new level, I think, of fear of the Lord.
I agree.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah. To say.
Well, no, I totally. But I think that that's the thing that in a time where I feel like we're living in where, you know, when you're around a little while. Look, I've been following Jesus only for 20 years, but realizing that there's a pendulum swing that happens within the body of Christ. So it's extreme truth or extreme grace or extreme. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah. What about the messy middle right. where we understand the depths of our grace and it causes us to want to walk in truth? Mm-hmm. Not that we receive grace to do whatever we want, but that grace, we can't believe that our sins are forgiven. We can't believe this grace was extended to us. So we want to walk in the truth. We would never want to take our power and exert that over somebody or hurt someone with it. And we do have a fear of the Lord. We do need a healthy fear of the Lord yeah. again. And understand that, that what mm-hmm. we do matters and we do answer yeah. for our lives.
Because it either adds to the overall strength and momentum.
Yes.
You know, we've got people who are unbelievers watching from the outside in going, yes. and why would I step into your drive? Look at you do to each other,
there you
right?
go. Yeah.
But if we could come together and walk in that yes. reverent fear and say, how do we build up? How do we give allowances? Yeah. How do we believe the best? And all yeah. of that, I think, takes a personal grit.
It
you
does.
Know, you can't just be at the whim of your emotions and the popular opinion I'm totally spouting, but let's talk here for a moment.
I love you.
I would love for you to speak to the idea of someone who's had a real encounter with God. They're sincerely saved, but maybe because of a series of trials, hardships, yeah. the battle has gotten long, or they've just gotten bored, but they're now disengaged. So they're true. Yeah. They are saved. They're Christians, but they're disengaged and maybe they're faking it.
Yeah.
What word of encouragement would you have for them today?
My word of encouragement would actually be out of James. You know, I think for me, what I've realized is the community of believers is really important. Coming yeah. together with the community of believers, if you're disengaged, you have to choose to persevere. You have to choose to show up. And I think even for me in those seasons where I've just started to go through the motions and I'm like, even I, as a pastor, I'm like, I'm just showing up to church because this is what I do. I have to change my mindset and look at that and realize, actually, I'm choosing to persevere. Whether I feel anything, sense anything, Amen. Hear anything, I choose to continue to read the Word of God, even if I don't get, quote unquote, get anything out of it. Mm-hmm. It will come back. The Holy Spirit will bring that to remembrance. But even reading, you know, James 1:2-4, where it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, that used to frustrate me, but then I realized the community of believers back then, when they were chained or imprisoned, when they would come back together, they would celebrate because the gospel was actually disrupting society and they couldn't believe that they were persecuted for it. So they would celebrate their trials, but also understanding, because you know that the testing of your faith, and even those words, I'm like, we don't like to believe that our faith will actually be tested.
Yeah.
I think there's a part of us, right, that wants to go, well, I repented of my sin. I'm following Jesus. Why does this have to be tested? But going through the highs and lows causes our faith to be tested, going, is this real for
yes.
me
yes.
when I feel it or don't feel it,
yes.
when things are good or don't go my way, when it seems like my prayers are unanswered? Because what does that do? The testing of your faith produces perseverance, what I was just talking about. When you don't feel it, keep showing up, keep worshiping anyways, keep standing up, keep rising up, keep speaking up, keep reading the word. Why? Because perseverance finishes its work so that you may be what? Mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Beautiful, beautiful. You know, I've always said that I owe my greatest education to the school of suffering. For
totally.
Me, that's what I've learned.
It's so true, though.
When we come back, I'd love for both of you to share how you would say that. What give me an example from mm-hmm. your life. You know, when you look at where you stand now and the level at which you minister, what trial would you point to go, you know, I owe so much to that trial.
Yeah.
I hated it when I was walking through it, but I owe a lot
yeah.
to that trial. Talking to Pastor Carolyn Haas of Substance Church, Andy Andrew of Liberty Church in New York. Andy's book is Fake or Follower, and we will be back in a moment. This is an encore presentation of Middays with Susie Larson. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friend Andy Andrew, author of the book Fake or Follower. Also in studio is Carolyn Haas of Substance Church. And the reason these two girls are in together because Andy ministered at Substance last night. Carolyn's taking her to the airport. And I'm so grateful you got to stop by and chat. I've loved my past conversations with you. I asked you both to think about, you know, I'd said that I owe my greatest education to the school of suffering and would love to know an experience from your past that you, when you were walking through it, saying, I hated this, but now you point back and go, I owe so much to this. What do you say, Andy?
Yeah, for me, I think it goes back to a moment where it was kind of like the trigger point, that perfect storm moment where I had my first three kids under the age of three. So yeah, that alone was like enough to like, have you ever heard the saying that I didn't know how selfish I was till I got married, and then I didn't know how angry I was until I had children. So
that is awesome.
So it was kind of one of those moments where I had three kids under the age of three, postpartum depression, was walking through a really difficult season. My husband and I were together, and my past of growing up in, I grew up in a religious cult, which is a whole nother story, and had abuse in my upbringing and all of that. But in the moment of that postpartum depression, having three kids, not having any time for myself, my world fell apart. And I remember one morning where my daughter was crying, and she was, you know, newborn still, needed me to go and feed her, and I just couldn't get out of bed. My husband was already at work. My shades were all closed. It was just dark, 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 and I just started to weep in bed and went, God, I can't do this anymore. Like, the heaviness that I felt. And I remember I couldn't even step out of bed. I rolled out of bed onto the floor and just wept there with my face down. And it was like, this doesn't happen all the time, but it was this moment, this cataclysmic moment where I felt the presence of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, very different and particular, but all is one. It was almost like, you know, the Father came around me with his wings, covering me as my refuge. And it was like, you know, Jesus was there weeping next to me. And the Holy Spirit was like a blanket wrapped around me. And I just remember crying out, going, I don't have anyone but you. Like, that was a bad thing. And the Spirit of God said, yeah, that's right. And I am all that you need. And I realized, I think, in that moment when I just had been so bound and needed deliverance and freedom, in that dark place where friends had left me, friends had walked away, didn't know what to do with me in the season that I was in, that in that place, paired with the Word of God that I had been reading for years, it started to come alive and become real to me. And I just walked on this journey of walking in complete and total freedom. But it was the darkest, like, I don't have time to go into all of it, but it was one of the darkest nights of my soul. And out of that came so much life. And so I'm so grateful for understanding that it is in the presence of God, not, you know, trying to get it from somebody else, but right there in his presence was where he walked me through and showed me and taught me how he would heal the broken pieces of my heart.
So grateful you shared that, because when someone's listening and maybe even watching, and we have this tendency to just kind of think that you're skating, you know, you got it, girl, you know, people don't know the dark nights of the soul that you suffer through in private. And that's why you've got something to say, is because you've persevered through those hard times. And friend, if you're there, you are not alone. And Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will meet you. Carolyn, how about you?
So I love leadership and I love serving people. And I've always been one of those, I hate the word people pleaser, but I just love to serve people, and I love, and so you don't even realize sometimes you do things maybe to get affection from people. So maybe I serve people all the time because I know they'll love me. You know what I mean? And Carolyn's their favorite person.
And you have a large capacity to care for a lot of people.
I do. So, you know, it's funny. I've always had friends and that didn't really have enemies until you get into ministry. And so all of a sudden, like, you're in the church and you're leading, and all of a sudden people are accusing you of things, and there's misunderstanding and there's betrayals and there's accusations. And I remember asking the Lord, like, even why do I work so hard? Like, why am I kind of a workaholic? And I remember the Lord instantly brought me back to being 21 and being a youth pastor. And I remember hearing some of the elders of the church talking bad about our senior pastor. And I remember in my heart, I went, oh, if I am a perfect pastor, if I can love and serve everybody, no one will talk bad about me. Okay. So the Lord brought me back to a memory. So here I am 21 years later in full-time ministry, having a breakdown because people are talking bad about me. And I had done everything I could to be that perfect, awesome leader, and then, but the church is growing, it's expanding, and or there's delays, or there's staff transitions, or people are leaving, and you can't explain it, and you can't grab coffee, and so I remember just the breaking that God had to do such a deep work in me, not only of lies that go deep, you know what I mean, that he had to work on my issues, but then I would argue it was the biggest, most pivotal thing for me as a leader to entrust my reputation to not. I'm not responsible for my reputation. And for me to walk through and learn, I can't defend myself. And God, and I love that there's so many scriptures that he is a defender.
He's a defender.
And he's my victory.
Defense.
And I'll never forget Revelation 3. This is such a crazy verse. But Revelation 3, the Lord is speaking, and he goes, I know all the things you do. Like, and then he goes, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, you know, those liars, you know, so these people who have been mean, cruel, you know, accusations, they will have to come down and bow at your feet and they will have to acknowledge that I love you. And I think just knowing that, like,
thank you, Lord.
I don't have to defend myself. Yeah. And so that was the biggest, deepest work that God had to set me free from. Wow. Is there will be people who will misunderstand me. There will be my reputation. So it's the test of your reputation. And so I think just being before the Lord and going, Jesus, if Jesus himself was perfect and people accused him.
And killed him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for Paul. Paul, in his letters, he's so honest and he talks so much about hardship. But then he'll go on and say, I know you think my motives are wrong and I know you think this, but here, let me tell you. And it's like, Paul, everyone thought his motives were wrong. Okay, I'm okay. We're going to be okay.
Yeah, so, so good.
That's good.
You know, you asked this, Indy, in your book. Mm-hmm. From time to time, I have to ask myself, am I a contributor or a critic? An owner or a constant bower? Mm. A kingdom culture warrior or a destroyer? When we judge first and understand later, we often operate as critics, bowers, and destroyers. And I want to camp on this for a bit.
Yeah.
Because if there's anything that we can accomplish in this hour, I want the church, I want us as God's people to wake up to go, we have got to do this together. There are no perfect leaders and there are no perfect followers. So thinking for a moment we can pick each other apart is an abomination. It just is. You know, if you have a front row seat to see something in a leader or a fellow believer, I'd say you have a front row seat to intercede. Maybe you have information that you need to bring before the Lord, not on social media. And, you know, so I think we would experience revival if we could have humble hearts. So I'm going to read it one more time.
Yeah.
Have you unpack it if you would. Mm-hmm. Andy writes, from time to time, I have to ask myself, am I a contributor or a critic, an owner or a constant borrower, a kingdom culture warrior or a destroyer? When we judge first and understand later, we often operate as critics, borrowers, and destroyers.
Wow. Yeah, I think what I realized is in those times where my life becomes all about myself and I'm too tired and the people make me mad, like I go into this like angry, tired hole. Is that's what I'm doing. I'm being critical of the people in my world. How come they can't love me like this? And it becomes all about me. Or borrowing, like I just need. Like I get needy. A critic, hello, we all do that. So I think what I have to do when I get into those places is once again humble myself and realize how imperfect I am. I'm like, I am so great, God. I have so much to say about everybody else. And I'm like, wow, pride. And just realizing I've completely partnered with pride and that I have to get on my knees again and repent and ask for forgiveness and begin to speak life over people again. Because I know this sounds hilarious, but I have a really deep saying that the Holy Spirit spoke to me when I was in one of these places. And it was like, hey, Andy, if you're digging through the trash, you're going to find trash. Mm. But if you're digging for treasure, you're going to find treasure.
It's great.
And it's like in those times in my life, I find myself hanging out in the trash pile. And I'm just like, no wonder I feel disgusting. No wonder all I can find is refuse and disgusting things about other people or myself. Like self-hatred comes in. It just becomes a negative space. But he's like, look, if you're digging for treasure, first of all, in my word, but also in my presence, but also if you're digging for treasure in other people, guess what you're going to find? You're going to find treasure. Mm-hmm. And so those are the shifts that I have to do, because then I am a fake. Like I'm just faking it. I'm showing up at church, but really inside of my heart, I am really not doing well.
And what you say in the book is eventually that will surface. I got to find that quote. You said our heart motives will always surface.
They do.
We just never know what circumstances, moments, situations, conversations, or seasons will bring them up.
Yeah.
So it's crucial that we guard our hearts with intentionality.
Yeah.
Again, you can point and blame all day long, but the fruit or lack thereof will show in your life.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing too. A tree is known by its fruit, right? And that's what it says, I think, I can't remember. But talking about the simplicity of a tree being known by its fruit or lack thereof. And I think we've got to look at our own lives and do a self-fruit check instead of having other people tell us. It's like, I am bearing nasty fruit, or I am bearing good fruit, or I'm not bearing any fruit at all. Why is that, God? What's happening? Maybe it is a pruning season, and that's okay. That happens. But maybe it's just the state of our heart.
Wow. Got a few texts that just came in. This one says, soil care, daily confession, prayer, and speaking the gospel to myself. Love that. Let's see here. Oh, somebody, that's a text for the morning show. Okay, did Andy feel his presence much prior to that morning where she encountered him so profoundly? Grateful for her sharing that honest story. I'm right there, but still asking for that encounter with him.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love that you asked that question. Mm-hmm. For me, I guess that's the whole thing. I love the scripture that says we go from glory to glory and strength to strength. I mean, glory can be anything from an encounter to just who God is and knowing him. But yes, I had had many moments from my day of salvation was radical, and I encountered the love of God, and there were points and moments, and then there were seasons where it felt dry dry and arid. But that in particular, it was like it had been a long time and I needed that reminder. I didn't even know that I did. But God did and came into my world. And I just want you to know, if you're listening, I love that you're waiting for that moment, whatever that is. But I just want to say to you, God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly how to speak to your heart and your situation. So I would sing a song to you by Journey. Don't stop believing. No, I'm just kidding. but don't, for real. Yeah. Like, don't mm-hmm. stop. Be encouraged that I can look back. That was 10 years ago now, and I can't believe what God has done over and over.
So good. Text in if you want to chime into the conversation. I pray that encouraged you, Carissa. 877-933-2484. So I keep bumping into these passages of scripture, and this is one that I wanted to sort out before I talked about it on the air, but you guys are stirring it up in me a little bit. But, you know, it says in a lot of places to Christians, you will be repaid for what you've done, good or bad. And it says that several times, and I keep cross-referencing and going to commentaries and looking at my study notes.
No one wants to write a book on that.
I know. Exactly. Because, of course, our sin is paid for by Christ Jesus,
yes.
but there is a day of yes. reckoning and a day of accountability. Yeah. Now, I understand the judgment seat that we as Christians go before, obviously different than the great white throne. The judgment seat is mm-hmm. where God rewards us for acts of yeah. faith. So as far as I understand the repayment, it's loss of reward, but there'll yeah. be a sobering moment. And so mm-hmm. where there's a potential where you could gossip, where you could not forgive, hold a grudge, there's also potential for eternal reward.
Yeah.
And you're opting out of a reward. And one of the reasons God wants to reward you is when you act like Christ, you're shouting to the mm-hmm. world, this is what I'm like. This is what Christ yeah. is like. So we're, you know, so there, that's a sobering
It is a sobering
thought.
Thing.
Yeah.
And I think too, what we have to be careful of, because in that fear can come in, right?
Right.
So what does fear of the Lord look like? It looks like just understanding his sovereignty and holiness. So yeah. you don't get into works in that.
Exactly.
You right. don't get Good into point. A place of works or fear, mm-hmm. but it's like, oh my gosh, you're so holy and good. I do want to become more like you, God. What it is that whole
That's
soft
offering,
heart.
You know?
It's an offering. It's constant. It's going, God, what things am I doing that are ridiculous and mm-hmm. are meaningless right now? And what things can I lay before you? And not walking in a negative fear, but a holy fear and reverence and awe of God.
Yeah.
And
that's such an important distinction, because again, you see, we have a propensity to go towards works, but then the other side of it is a casualness where we're really kind
yes.
of irreverent about
again, the messy middle, right?
Yes,
and getting
yes.
Mm-hmm.
And yet scripture talks about it so much. And so
yeah.
it seems like we have to listen to say, may my whole life be an offering, because everything echoes from this life to the next. And I want to live
yeah.
in that constant reality. Well, you talk about in the book, Fake or Follow. We're going to pause here, but the consumer mentality. So when we come back, I want you to say a word about how do we, as individuals, so that we can see a corporate manifestation, you know, put that thing under our feet. How can we get
Good.
Out of a consumer mentality as individuals so corporately we could see the fruit
Great.
Of that? Okay.
Good.
Andy Andrew and Carolyn Haas, more with them in a moment.
I wanna be different.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Middays with Susie Larson. You know, sometimes you just need to pause and ponder the reality of your salvation, the miracle of your salvation. You know, it was Jesus' most expensive miracle. We're coming up on Easter, the resurrection power that Christ has made available, the fact that he's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. His spirit resides in us. His promises are over us. I mean, imagine how different our lives could be if we apprehended truly everything Jesus won for us. Well, in studio, I'm Susie Larson, by the way. It's Middays, and I'm talking to Andy Andrew and Carolyn Haas today about what it means to be a fake or a follower out of Andy Andrew's book. We've got 6 copies of this book, Refusing to Settle for a Shallow Faith. Email to get in on the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com. So, Andy, I want to just, you know, talk about in the book about this consumer mentality that's very strong within the American church,
yeah.
you know, in the
yep.
Western church, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
What can we as individuals do? Because I don't think we realize how much we pick and choose, like that song, don't like that
totally.
Song, don't like her pants, don't like her blazer,
yeah.
whatever. But how can we break free as individuals so that we could see a corporate revival happen in our church?
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with the scarcity mentality. So there's not going to be enough for me, so I need to consume. And I realize when I go to Jesus, the one story that rocks me every time to deal with the scarcity mentality is actually to serve and lay your life down, right?
Mm.
But we got to look at Jesus and how he did that. Because if we just hear that, once again, we'll step into works. Well, then I should do something. No, it's an identity issue. It's an identity problem. So when I see Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, it is one of the most powerful stories in multiple ways. But why could Jesus wash his disciples' feet? If you see in this story, it says he took off his outer garment, which was his rabbi's clothing. In that time, in that day, it made him important. It's like, oh, he's a rabbi. I can tell by what he's wearing. But he knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew what he came for. He didn't need anyone to tell him. He didn't come to consume. He came to give and lay his life down. And so he could take off his rabbi's robe and get down on his knees and do the quote unquote lowest of the low job to serve, because he didn't need someone to pat him on the back and tell him who he was. He could walk in humility. He could serve. He could give his life away. And I do believe that if we deal with our identity as image bearers, if we can go before God and understand who we are, we stop needing to consume from everywhere to grasp and pull and walk in this scarcity mentality like we'll never have enough. Mm. If we can do the work to deal with our hearts and lives before God to understand who we are and whose we are, then it's easy to serve. It's easy to give. It's easy to be a part of the solution. It's not always easy, but you understand that your life is about laying your life down so that you can walk in resurrection life. We die each day to live in Jesus' resurrection life that he gave us. And so I think that is one key to stop consuming, is actually just knowing who you are, because otherwise you keep grasping at everybody else to find who you are. You consume, you take, and you church hop, and you go from place to place because nobody's good enough. But really, you're just dealing with an issue inside of your heart that you need to fix.
Boy, that's so good. You know, Carolyn, this may seem like it's coming out of left field, but it really isn't. But you have an executive pastor. When I've spoken at Substance and done Sunday mornings when you guys are out of town, I've never met an executive pastor like Nate Puccini ever. And, you know, I don't remember if it was his mom or somebody else where he knew a pastor's wife. I feel like it was his mom, but she wasn't treated like a queen. And he has said on several occasions that Carolyn is the first lady of this church and she will feel like it. And that guy has so much honor in him for you and Peter that, you know, when you give honor, you have honor. You know, I mean, there's an equity.
Totally.
There's a spiritual muscle density in his character. You know, just because he honors so well. And I feel like whatever he's experienced out there, but he's an example of someone who turned it around and is making gold out of it, because I feel like there's so much fruit. And you guys can go away and minister all over the world, and there's still this thriving thing happening. Your leaders are so well taught. And I'm saying that to say, we can point all day long, well, I had this bad church experience, or I seen it done, or someone dissed my mom, or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
But you know what? A hero of the faith turns that around and says, how can I do this differently?
Very good.
And I want you just to say a word, if you would, just about the idea of, you know, you can blame all day long the stuff that you've come from, or you can say, I have a God who promises, I have his presence, and I have an opportunity here to do something different.
Amen. I love it.
There you go.
Well, it's who God is. Do you know what I mean? So I think even for me, my dad died when I was in high school. So it was taking a scripture and going, you're a father to the fatherless, realizing, hey, I'm fatherless, but I don't have to be a victim because God is my father. So there's this tenacity. That's where the promises of his word, we take hold of them. Yep. But we have to be feisty. And I literally threw my Bible in the
air.
There
are four feisty girls in the studio right now.
So I think what you're speaking of is people get passive and they have a victim mentality and they sulk in their pain and their woundedness versus going, no, I'm going to find a scripture and a promise and say, God, this is who you say you are.
And we become takers in that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then God loves proving it.
Yeah.
God loves proving his word and who he is. And so I remember even my mother, she did not have a good experience as a mother. Her mother was not a good mother, healthy mother. And so she was like, I'm going to be a different mother. Like, I'm going to mother, not in a wounded, I'm mad at my mom, I'm going to blame my mom. It was just very proactively, I'm going to be strategically different than how I was mothered.
Wow.
And so I think there is that. I love what you're saying about addressing any church wounds or experiences. And instead of getting cynical and selfish and consumeristic, we have God's word to claim it and go. And we don't read God's word because it's the right thing to do. We read it so we don't think crazy thoughts.
Yeah. There you go. That's good.
I've never heard it put so clear. But you know, this brings us back to the soils again, because you're thinking of whatever's happened to you. If the heart gets hard, the soil's hard and the seed's going to bounce off. But if this happens and you take Jesus' words, you listen, you understand, and you pull the weeds, and you pull the boulders out, and you have this soil 30, 60 to 100 times what's planted. Because again, I'm just, using Nate as an example. But truly, there's 30, 60, 100 times what's been planted all around him. And Andy, I just don't think we understand the importance of our life in the kingdom story, of what God could and would do for us if we'd be tenders of that soil.
Yeah, and I think that's why I keep going back to it. I have this message that God spoke to me as, you know, pastoring a church, walking, we have like a beautiful church full of millennials, and realizing there was this quote that I had heard that it said, 1 in 4 millennials believe they'll be famous by the time that they're 25. And I giggled and laughed, but then I went, you know what, that's actually the church, is that 1 in 4, 1 in 5, you know, churchgoers believe they'll get whatever they want without going through process.
Wow.
And seriously. So and so I think that's what we've got to understand. Soil and seed, process.
Yes.
There's a process with that. And as long as we can be okay with that and understand that sometimes there are the miracles that happen in a moment and you can't believe it. It's like, even Peter was saying this yesterday, it feels like some things take forever and then they're suddenly moments. But it really, there's been a lot going on in the soil, under the ground, until there's a suddenly moment where there's fruit and life. Mm-hmm. So understanding that is really important.
Oh, I love that. You know, I I've had to be feisty. I've had to fight for things. Nothing's
yes.
come easy.
Yes.
But when you apprehend the promises of God, you see how precious your faith is to
yeah.
him. He responds. He's not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter mm-hmm. of faith, isn't he?
Totally. Yes.
Well, it's the beaten path. I call it the beaten path to the presence of God.
Ooh, I like
it's
that.
Where the path is so beaten, where you weep before him, you're raw before him. And I'll never forget a season where everything was dark and confusing and all doors were closed. And I just sat on my knees and wept before the Lord and said, "What are you doing?" And he literally showed me in scripture and said, "Carolyn, I've brought you to the Red Sea. And you're not a bad leader because you're at an impossible situation.
Oh,
but I've brought
wow.
you to the Red Sea so that only I can get the glory and the credit
Woo-hoo!
For what I'm doing in your life." And I just went, that's what, again, why we read the Bible, because he brings us back to Bible stories and goes, "You're Moses right now, and it's okay." You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I've got you. And I was just, my circumstances didn't change, but my inner peace and my strength
so
and my
good.
Joy
yeah.
changed.
So
but
good.
I had to be on my knees before the Lord, feisty, frustrated. Now, I wasn't weeping to other people in a complaining way on mm-hmm. social media and on Facebook and just telling my whole sob story, but before the Lord
good.
In my secret
yeah.
prayer
The one
closet.
Who can actually cause miracles
yes.
to happen.
And then you knew what was your part and what was his part. Because
yes.
I think when you're in the waiting season, and you get tired of waiting, you can take matters into your own hands, you can get offended with God, and then you put yourself right back under the discipline of God. But truly, to know what is his part and what is your part.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting ready to pray here. I'm wondering, just if you take a minute to tell me what your vision is for the American church, what you'd love to see happen, Andy.
I would just love to see a humble and hungry church.
Amen.
And I think that's what I was... that's just what I'd love to see. I was in Peru and saw these amazing signs, wonders, and miracles. I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but I just wept going back to God going, "Why is it like this here?" And he said, "Because they're a humble and hungry people."
Mm-hmm.
So I've been just studying the humility of Christ and hunger for what is real, not just that God would give me things, but that he is the bread of life. He is more than enough. And I think if the church walked in humility and hunger, it's the antithesis to the world. We stop
pride and entitlement. Yeah.
yeah mm-hmm. Instead of feeding off of everything else, feeding off of who Jesus is. And that's what I would love to see.
Boy, something I've been thinking about is we prop ourselves up so much. We don't want to feel pain, so we numb out and all mm-hmm. these conveniences. And then we never feel the need for God. But what if we stop propping ourselves up so we could feel the
yep.
need and get hungry? Let's pray that. If you would pray, Andy,
yeah.
for the American church, pray mm-hmm. right now if you would.
Yeah, well, Father, I pray over the American church right now. I pray that, you know, she would fall on her knees.
Yes,
that she would understand that you are more than enough. God, we repent. Father, forgive us of tasting and seeing everything else in this
yes.
world except for tasting and seeing that you are good. So, Father, may we be a people that walk in the antithesis to the ways of this world and show that there is a better way, that we would stand on and live in the reality of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Cannot thank you both enough for this time. Appreciate you more than I can say.
Mm-hmm. We love you.
Love
you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors Carolyn Haas, Andy Andrews, and again, Andy's book is Fake or Follower, Refusing to Settle for a Shallow Faith. Got 6 copies. Don't forget to get in on the drawing middays at myfaithradio.com. Middays at myfaithradio.com. And also, big shout out to my amazing producers, Carissa Rogers, Kim Sanders, who make every day brighter,
Woo.
Every show better. Walk intimately with the Lord. Remember that, because it's impossible for him to fail you. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can give a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player and never miss a show.